Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Alami Podcast, Change Your Company. I'm very excited about episode today. We are going live on LinkedIn and at the same time. So any interaction would be very encouraged. And if you have questions, you can ask us. My guest today is Rashad Sinokrot, who is the CEO of GCC Services. You've been with Agility Group for 17 years and 11 years as a CEO of GCC Services, which is a big arm of Agility Group and extremely successful business division. And I have to say, so first of all, welcome to the Alami Podcast.
Thank you for that. It's a pleasure and honor to be here. Thank you for hosting me. Appreciate it.
I have to say, the memory goes back when I was working in the Middle East, when I was working in Kuwait in the Agility Group. I still remember I was sitting in the office where you were based and your team was based, and you were leading back then the strategic initiatives, which were the team which was responsible for acquiring maybe around 40 companies, which became later on Agility, especially the global integrated logistics. And I still remember how the excitement and the passion and the hard work of that team, and not to mention, of course, the ability to acquire all this company, which became, again, a huge organization later, and the ability to kind of pull them together and find the best companies, target companies for this. So my question was always, I was always curious about this, how did you manage to create such great team spirit, such an engagement, such a great team? I still remember how people felt like one. I still remember the weekly meeting you used to have and the energy which was before the meeting and after the meeting. Tell me about this.
Well, you really have a great memory. Thank you for giving me the chance to relive those times. It was a great start with Agility for sure. It all started really from the top. We had great leadership and support from Tarek, Aisa, and the rest of the team. We had a very well articulated strategy that we can sell to anybody. We were very strong in the GCC area in the Middle East. That's our forte. And we have built a good reserve from the contracts that we had with the US government, and we wanted to diversify and build a sustainable business. And the rationale was we build a global network that would feed business across the world, capitalizing on our presence in the Middle East. It was a unique play. There was nobody else like us, and it's a great success story. One of the very few companies from the Middle East that's probably outside the banking sector that's really a global company. So who wouldn't love to be part of that success story and be part of that strategy? So when you go and recruit and you have such a story and you tell people you're going to be part of a team that's going to make things happen and change a part of the world and come back to the Middle East, etc. So that really was a very successful tool that you have on your hands to utilize. And then it goes about the people. We really had a great culture at Agility. Back then, we did many name brand changes and ended up being Agility. It was a culture of that you felt you were working for your family business. Everybody cared. At the same time, everybody was motivated. They hired people because of their talent. Everybody felt everybody's else energy, learning from each other. So it's like a perfect ecosystem feeding from one another. And yes, we had the means to execute, and we just played along. So it was great times, great times.
So reflecting on what you said, it's basically the vision for sure helped to make people engage and excited about being part of it, and helped you to attract the right talents for this. But tell me a little bit about the discipline that you created, the weekly meeting, how did you build the team? How did you build the momentum?
Yeah, we had a big team, and our team was spread actually in focus across the continent. So we had a team focusing on Asia, we had a team focusing on Europe, we had a team focusing on the Middle East, and a team focusing on the Americas. And but we also needed to keep each other in the loop. So we are aware what we're working on, and there are synergies and alignment. So that was the weekly meeting, and that was the purpose, where everybody would update what they are working on and if there's any cross intersection with anybody else. And at the same time, everybody can support everybody else on what they are doing. At that time, the recruiting, we went to all the business schools from Europe and the US, the top business schools, and we started hiring MBA students, graduates who have had experience, not necessarily in logistics or M&A, but they have been, they can add value to the team either through their skills in operations or their skills in finance or their skills in business development mainly, in order to help and grow the business from what they've worked in the West or if they've worked somewhere else, and to bring this talent back and share it with Agility. So that was the premise it all started from. And when you hire good people like to work with good people like them. So yeah. Everybody feed of each other. I mean, my strategy has always been not to hire anybody who's exactly like me. I like to be challenged so as to learn. And at the same time, I challenge other people. And at the same time, it has to be different skills because you don't want to, and different way of thinking. If everybody thinks the same way, we're bound to miss a lot of things. But when you bring people with different backgrounds and different skills and different experiences, you can challenge each other and make sure you address any point of view from multiple angles and cover for the expected and the unexpected. So that all was also helped in that direction.
Yeah. So you, how long you led like the team, that team for?
Probably around 4 to 5 years.
Okay. And then you moved to GCC Services as a CEO.
Yes.
And I mean, how did it feel like leaving the strategic initiatives team?
Yeah. You know, when you build something and you see it's successful, it's hard to leave and try something else. But part of my personal development for myself and professional growth, I felt I plateaued, and I think I gave what I can to the company, and somebody else maybe can do the job better or can continue that track. And this opportunity came for me to go into operations for a subsidiary of Agility, GCC Services. At that time, Tarek asked me if I would like to jump into operations and really get my hands dirty. In all naivety, I said yes. I didn't know what I was getting myself. thinking of it, maybe I would have thought twice at that time, but in the long run, it has been very rewarding. While my background is not really in operations, but when you approach things in a systematic way and you surround yourself with the right people, you can learn things quickly. So at GCC at that time, unfortunately, because of the EPLS list, lost all of its contracts with the U.S. government. And basically, the size of the company was going to shrink to probably 20% of what it was at.
Just to explain to the people that the EPLS is a list of companies which are like blocked from working with the U.S. government for a period of time, basically. And this was the case of Agility at that point.
Correct. And because GCC was a subsidiary, it was lumped in the group. So basically I jumped into the restructuring case. The company had to reshift from being a service provider only to the government, basically subcontractor for the prime contractors of the U.S. government, to enter into the commercial business. And we had people moving out of the gate, losing contracts because they're coming to their end tenure. And we had to win new business. So I like the challenge that I am. I think my skill has always probably lay in building teams and building things. So this was for me another opportunity, building strategic initiative team. Now we go and build GCC again. This was a little bit tougher, I must admit, because the thing that helped GCC a lot, it had a great reputation that it executed in very tough environment and a great service and delivery. However, the mentality was not commercially oriented. It was more servicing the U.S. government on cost plus contract versus fixed contracts is what is normally the commercial side of the business. So that was a challenge, number one. How do you shift people from thinking this is the way we cost and account for our contract versus no, we take the risk on and we cannot pass it on to the client? It was not easy. And some of the tools probably that we used back in that time is you have to bring in fresh blood. People who have done it differently, so as to show how you do it. People get very comfortable in what they do, and they don't like change. They resist change. So it's not always easy to execute that. But I mean, what really worked with GCC is honesty from the beginning. People knew the situation. We did not build high expectations. This is where the company was. And by the end of the year, this is where it was going to be. Those who wanted to leave, they're more than welcome. But those who would stay, we will take care of them and grow the company together. And there were people who chose to leave. There were some people that we had to ask to leave because we could no longer afford their packages at that time. And we started with those party that stayed loyal to GCC. You know that you can count on them, and they wanted to go on in the new journey. And little by little, because of the reputation and because of where we were in Iraq, we were able to win a couple of commercial contracts. And those clients really helped us and took us somewhere else with them, whether it was to Africa and or whether it was to the UAE and so forth. Mm-hmm. We did a couple of small acquisitions also that helped us enter new geography. And the big break came with winning food rations contracts for the United Nations in Africa, and hence the growth story started happening, and we were able to recruit again new talent that helped us on this journey. It took some time, but with patience and persistence and communicating clearly where we are, the difficulties we're facing, the challenges, and what we are doing to address them helped probably give the staff and the team more trust that, yes, this is where we are and this is what they're doing and what they can do also to help us go to the next level. Yeah. Building a new culture, we started with probably the usual, engaging everybody and setting up what our values are and the mission of the company.
Was this defined before, or you defined them?
No, this was not defined in the company. We set up new values, and we got feedback from everybody what they should be and what should be our mission statement, and we're working to them. I think probably by the end of this year or next year, we will need to revisit because it's been a while and the company has changed and what needs to be adapted and whatnot. Yeah. And after we defined those values and culture to rally everybody around them, we identified what are the behaviors that we want people to uptake so that really we ensure that this culture is there. And we focused on ownership, accountability, sense of urgency, and closure, and better decision-making within the team, and having everybody to think in a group or a company-wide mentality versus silo, because people think about just themselves and what they do, but we try to spread the idea what I do affects everybody else, so let's think what is better for everybody else.
Yeah.
So those behaviors, by encouraging them and tying them to the performance reviews, helped spread the culture that we wanted to do. And, and the best way really to spread the culture is by acting on it. And me as an ambassador and the other senior managers, just to act on what we say. And people may hear you, but they really do as what you do.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And it starts that way.
Yeah, I think so. What you said now is Jack Welch. I think he has something. He says, you know, one act equal to 100 speeches. You know, like one action, it communicates much more than 100 speeches. We have what like comment here. Like Heinz is watching us. Heinz brought back, and he's saying excellent, but a few unknown for me as outsider abbreviations. So yeah, GCC just the name of the company. EPLS we defined it, GCC is also GCC the Gulf.
Stands for Gulf Catering and Contracting.
Yeah, this is the name of the company, but also the GCC region is the Gulf. What do you call it? The Gulf region. The Gulf region in the Middle East, yeah.
Correct. And GCC Services also was an acquisition that Agility did, actually. I personally did not work on it, but a colleague of mine from the team worked on it. We initially purchased 50% of it. It was originally a Saudi company that venturing out outside Saudi Arabia. So Agility invested in the international arm of the business and then acquired 100% of that business.
Yeah. So I want to just touch very briefly around like this, what you said about being a role model or an example for the values that need to be exhibited. And I do like this. It's something completely different area, which is virtually I do workout every single day. And I noticed, actually it was today. So we rotate the leadership, okay? And then today the leader said, we're gonna do it this way, you know, the exercises. And then one person was doing it differently. Two people were doing it differently. And suddenly, like, everyone is doing it differently, you know?
Yeah.
And because the leader didn't correct the first one who kind of went off track, you see?
Yeah.
And this is again, the idea of one action equal to 100 speeches. So it's so powerful when you kind of just, you need to make it so clear for them. So, yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And so when you came in and you had, like, this, huge pressure in terms of performance. When you had a team who maybe was used to having a lot of business already in the pipeline, and suddenly you came in and you needed to let go of people, you needed to change the focus of the organization in terms of customers to more United Nations and other kind of contracts. Did you feel like, why did I get myself into this?
Yeah, I mean, when everything is, the wind is blowing against you, it definitely you have self-doubt that if you've made the right decision or not. But when you go back to the fundamentals of why you made such a decision and you think of why, where you want to go next, it helps to keep you steady. And we failed. We really failed a couple of times for sure. And learning from failure is really the best teacher. Agility gave us really kind of a 2 years to turn the things around. And they said, yes, we know it's a difficult situation, but you have to tell us what kind of support you need and we'll take it there. It took us 3 years probably to turn the steering wheel. But with persistence and patience, yeah, there were moments of self-doubt for sure. But I guess those are the defining moments, is not to give up and just to hold yourself back again, surround yourself with people who push you forward and never look back. Never look back.
And how did you manage to get them focused on new business opportunities? I mean, for sure there was resistance at the beginning. And the other question is, like, when you let go some people, because you let go, like, some people.
Yeah.
How was it and how did you manage to create a trust? Because people, when they are let go, the ones remaining, they would be like, will I be next on the list?
Yeah. No, absolutely. How do you manage to get trust? I mean, honesty is always the best policy. We were very clear about the situation of the company. We were very clear about what we can afford and what we cannot afford. And we told people those who decide to stick, that we will honor those contracts and give them a certain period of time, let's say some of them for firm contracts, that nothing will happen to them for 2 years, to give them the stability. And at the same time, we saw the story of I am coming from Agility. The company is committed to Agility, to GCC, and it's going to be one of the levers for the growth into the future. So with little bit of credibility, small wins help you along the way. Good customers, they took us, like I said, somewhere else. And people started to see the needle moving. We had to have some tough conversations for sure. And they're never fun when you tell one person you're not leaving. But it didn't happen out of a sudden. It didn't happen in an unfair way. People were compensated fairly. And people were given the chance, in case of they wanted to maintain their residency for a longer period of time, to look for other jobs. That was given. And there was continuous communication. Every 3 months, we would hold a town hall explaining to everybody where we are, what is working, what's not working, and what we can ask from everybody to help. And I think that gave the people the security. And when they saw us again hiring new people, they saw the company growing. There were some people who resisted. And you have that conversation. This is where we want to go. Either you are on board or you are not on board. And in this case, you can't be part of the team. Some people decided to leave, and some people we had to let them go. But again, honesty and continuous communication were the best tools. And for the people who stayed in, they really wanted feedback, what they were doing and how they can do better, etc. So feedback is always helpful. People assume they're doing something and you're expecting something, and sometimes there's misalignment. So feedback and communication go hand in hand in that.
This is great. So the culture of transparency, which create trust, continuous communication and feedback. I'm just curious, how did you do the town hall? Because you had still people from dispersed in different countries. So how did you manage to also have this engagement with them?
It's through travel. I mean, at those times, we didn't have Zoom or anything. It was for the people in Kuwait, it was more frequent. It was once a month. But then I used to travel. For example, Iraq was our largest operation at that time. I used to go to Iraq 4 to 5 times a year. So every 2 to 3 months, I am there, meet the people, get to know them. And same thing, we were operating in PNG, Papua New Guinea at that time. We won a contract there, to Africa, to Sudan, etc. So I used to go myself, or somebody from the senior leadership team would go there and engage with people and have that dialogue. That's what we used to do. Yep.
That's great. You know, I talk a lot about alignment, and your case is a great example about excellent alignment, because, you know, and people think also that alignment happens, you know, in one way. It's actually, it's like this continuous, like back and forth. And they think also that it's only top down. It's also bottom up, because the Absolutely. Leadership also need to see like what's going on in the front line and what kind of challenges, and this helps them refine the strategy. So I think what you shared is a great. And I just want to add one thing, which is what you said also about today, there are so many tools which makes it much easier to do so compared to 10 years ago, compared maybe to 5 years ago. Yeah. And this is the advantage that leaders have, right?
And I agree with you. Alignment is really important. And it's tough. It doesn't always work for us, and we can still do a better job and we can learn. I mean, for people to speak up their mind and say, you definitely need the people in the front line to be able to have the confidence and safety that this is not working or this is working, and speak up. So a culture of safety is important. And it's not easy to create that. And sometimes it worked for us, sometimes it didn't. So that's something we keep on learning. But you have to have feedback going back both ways, for sure.
Yeah. So you have a unique case about leading acquisition team, M&A, merger and acquisition, and also leading an organization. And actually, it's even more unique in a case in this case, which is you had to make a turnaround of an organization. You need to make it like refocus. You need to downsize it or right-size it. So what, I mean, when you look at these two roles, leading acquisitions at a very high scale and then leading a turnaround and an organization, what do you see the difference between the two?
I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I mean, each one is different skills and different pleasures and pains, I would say. For the M&A team, it was exciting to be thinking all that strategic thinking, to be doing all that exciting work, working with people, feeding off each other on a high level and planning for the future. That was very exciting, doing financial modeling and valuation and numbers and think this is how we're going to create value. So that whole strategic thinking was very exciting. But it was frustrating in one side that we don't get to execute upon it. It's not us. We just do it, deliver. The deal sometimes goes through, sometimes doesn't go through. You develop emotional attachment to the transaction. But this is life. Not everything works. Some deals did not go through. Some deals went through, and some deals went better than others. But we had no say in the execution. So it's like you do all of this thinking, but you don't do it at the end in terms of making it happen. So that part is a little bit frustrating because you don't see the end product. You don't work on it materializing. On the operations, it is very much more realistic, very much more hands-on. So while you could be thinking beautiful strategy on the M&A side, but in reality, it may not work. And they think of granular details, how things work, making sure the process is thorough. It is completely different. There's no high-level thinking. Does this work? Does this not work? How much does it cost? Do I have the budget? I don't have the budget. How am I going to make it happen? The customer is calling. There's this problem. Fix it, etc. It's more day-to-day. It's more real. It's a different kind of pain. And while you deal with people, some of them make it easy. Some of them make it harder. So you tend to use more your people skills on the operation side with working with people and making sure planning is really important. On the M&A side, it's more the thinking that goes behind it. And each one of them is rewarding in a different way and frustrating in a different way. Yeah. And I think for each person at one period of time may be more rewarding than the other. For me, I think it was the perfect transition. I felt I was stagnating, and this came along. But this is never boring. Every day there's a new story. Every day there's something new happening, and you're at the end of the day the one who's bringing in the money to pay for the future M&A that goes. So I completely feel with the operations when they were saying we bring the money and you spend it. So But now I completely see that and sympathize with it. So when you put yourself in their shoes, you understand better.
So you mentioned about your ability to develop like great teams. What if you want to give us, like, let's say you are going into a new situation, you want to create a great team, what would be like the 3-4 things that you want to do or you keep in mind in order to create this great team?
I mean, number one, you start with the people. The people are the ones that make things happen. So it's making sure you have the right people with you on the journey to start with. And people with open mindset who want to grow and develop with you, who are not afraid of making mistakes and learning from each other, and who want to grow. Personally, when I hire people, I like to hire people who I feel are better than me, to be honest with you, because I feel those people challenge me. They will keep me on my toes and I will learn from them. If I hire people that I am better with just for the sake of security, I won't go anywhere and it's not good for all of the company. And I think when you challenge people at the same time, they like that. And my style has been empower so that they really make the decisions and do what they want to do. But at the same time, hold them accountable, because it doesn't mean you make a mistake, you get fired. But no, through constructive feedback both ways of what support they need and how I can make enable that happen, and at the same time, what is the expectation from them to do, this alignment creates, in my opinion, a winning formula. This has been helpful for me.
This is great. So it all starts with the people, hiring the right people with growth mindset, and creating the culture of, you know, feedback and communication, alignment. This is great. I want to ask you some personal reflections. And the first one is, what's one or two success habits that helped you throughout the years to reach the top and to be successful at the top?
That's a tough one. I mean, always really to give it your best and never give up. Learn from your failures, for sure, because they're the best teacher. Seek out for help when you don't know how to do things. I mean, we all learn. Surround yourself with people who are positive and want to see you succeed and want to work with you to succeed, and encourage them. One person cannot do everything. Work with them. Make sure you really articulate what you want everybody to do, because you can never communicate enough, in my opinion. And by mean by communication, not sending emails. I mean, people get. I personally cannot read now long emails anymore with the time everybody on hands and so many things going on. And by communication, it's just pick up the phone, have that call. Just make sure that alignment is there, instead of just wasting emails back and forth and blaming each other and so forth. Just make sure that communication is clear and continuous. I hope that was helpful.
No, it is, for sure. So the second question I want to ask you is, how did you keep learning? I mean, you said about mistakes, learning from mistakes, which is great. And by the way, I think I like this quote. I read it once. It says, "We don't learn from experience; we learn from reflecting on experience." So, you know, Some people, like, they worked long in certain area, but they haven't maybe kind of internalized the lessons. So, in your case, what kept you learning and growing?
I mean, I'm very hard on myself. I mean, I set high expectations, and I always strive to do that. And luckily at Agility, we have a very supportive environment for development and growth, whether it's through the learning modules online or through, I personally took probably more than 5 or 6 development classes outside Agility, some of them in MBA school, some of them outside, some of them related to skills I felt I can do better, like communication and public speaking. Some of them were related more to technical, some of them were related to work and so forth. So this, every year you enlarge in your network and you meet new people, and you just keep an open mind and learn from them. And that network feeds each other, opportunities and business opportunities and learning opportunities. So that was very helpful in my case.
That's great. And what advice do you have for leaders, organizational leaders?
What advice do I have to organization leaders? Number one, never play politics. It's just a waste of time and waste of energy. And while you might be the best at it or can lead you somewhere, it's only a short term when it's a tactic that backfires at the end. Number two, definitely ask for help when you don't know how to do something. It's better than getting so far deep and not be able to go back. And just have the courage, really, to speak up your mind and do the right thing, no matter what it is or what it is at the end of the day, because it's the right thing. You will be able to sleep with a clear conscience, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you may say something to please the boss or say something to, because that's what everybody is saying, but just have the courage to really speak up your mind and do the right thing. And never give up. I mean, like we spoke again, when you fail, you use it as an opportunity to learn and not to shame somebody. What I found very challenging from my work is that people tend to think more of themselves and just they pass on the blame to others. I think if everybody starts with themselves, what they did wrong, what did they right, and what they can do better, this will help everybody. At the end of the day, we all succeed when the company succeeds, not when one person succeeds.
Yeah, and this is great when, as you did like with GCC, and also with your team, with Strategic Initiatives, the M&A team, which is creating this team spirit, creating this sense of unity, this sense of community, this sense of belonging is so powerful to so people know it's not just about me, it's about us. And even if this could mean the way I need to sacrifice for the short term or for this case, for this customer. And that's something that leadership needs to create. Do you agree?
I completely agree. And I think we mentioned this. People look at the way you act and what you do and what you say. And that's how it really sticks in their mind. He's saying this, but is he working on it? Share examples and of why this is important and what you're doing, etc. That will go a long way. Yeah.
Great. And is there any specific or special advice you would give to young leaders who would like to kind of move up in the organization?
That's a tough one.
So maybe I put it this way. If you look at yourself like 20 years ago, what advice would you give?
I think what really helped me, speaking for myself, I treated people the same way I wanted them to treat me, always with respect and genuinity and care. I think being kind helped me because people will always remember how you treat them. But being kind doesn't mean being always a yes sayer. Feeling for the others by putting yourself in their shoes. And sometimes you understand why they are making certain decisions or why they are making certain behaviors. At the same time, standing for what it is right, irrespective of what others may say. I think those two points, along being assertive but kind at the same time, is quite helpful for people, because people will always remember how you interacted with them and how you made them feel at the end of the day.
Yeah. And if someone is like very caring, usually it's difficult for them to be assertive at times, for especially leaders. So, I mean, was it difficult for you like to be as assertive in certain position and you developed that skill, or was it the other way around? You are assertive and then you developed yourself.
I had to work on it, to be honest with you, because you want to make sure what you tell the people is true. And the people will find out at the end of the day. And you want to make sure that you're clear. And people are never, don't get upset from being treated fairly and honestly. Even if you're firm, but you're honest and fair, but on the contrary, you'll gain their respect, I feel, from my own experience.
That's great.
Yeah.
And my last question is, what's the legacy that you'd like to leave behind?
The legacy that I'd like to leave behind. I have always thought myself as an enabler and builder for people to help them reach their potential for the companies. I feel for Agility, I built a great team that helped the company grow to where it is right now. And now with the sale of GIL, the realized value that it brought to the shareholders is great. Yes, it hurts to see people go and leave and be part of another company or choose somewhere else. But you focus on the task that you're required to do, and you do it and with your heart and passion, and you give it everything you can. I think my legacy would be when somebody thinks of me, oh, Rashad helped me really achieve my goals. That would be great. Personally, for GCC, you might laugh and you say, why is that? I think the optimum for my success is that if I'm removed from GCC or I am here, the company would still work the same and would still continue success. That means I really built a system and a team that is self-perpetuating and a company that's sustainable going forward for me to take it to the next stage. My role is in the growth period and make it reach a certain phase. And I think probably some other people can do better things after that. So that's what I would like people to say. Rashad took us on a nice journey and we learned from him and he helped us reach that potential. That would be great.
That's excellent. That's great. And this is really a great ending for this session, for this really inspiring conversation for me. And I'm sure it will be inspiring for our listeners. Thank you so much, Rashad, for joining us.
Thank you for it. It was a pleasure and great. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you, our listeners, for checking in, for continue to be on this podcast. And I would love to hear your feedback. So leave a comment, subscribe if you haven't. And I'm always curious about how you find the episode, how you find the podcast overall. So until the next episode, please stay inspired and make the biggest impact you could make within your area of responsibility and even beyond it. Until the next time, take care. Bye.